Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pritzker. Illinois invested in clean energy and the jobs it brings. Donald claimed that windmills in the ocean made the whales a little batty. During COVID, we supported small businesses and jobs. And Donald, well, Donald told us to inject bleach.
Yeah, so the lies at the DNC. Now look, I don't want to pretend that there were no lies told at the RNC, that there was no exaggeration, embellishment, or inaccuracy, but the continued repetition of things that are just plain false is, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. The truth teller in me wants to believe that everybody believes in telling the truth, and then, you know, you find out that that's just not the case. And again, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, the Republicans are all completely accurate and honest and are journalists in their political presentations, but Trump never said that. it becomes this, it's this persistent myth, like, that Sarah Palin said she could see Russia from her house or any of the other things that get attributed to people, or that Trump is somehow a Project 2025 guy. It's amazing. They, one of the things that I have seen yesterday, and I have a lot to say about this yesterday, everything from the local election results, which we'll get to, which, you know, you heard David sharing some of that, to the riot slash protest that was not at the United Center, that was actually about 2 miles away from the United Center at the Israeli consulate. And, you know, to the speeches that took place inside the convention, keynoted in part, I mean, there were so many elements, but keynoted in part by J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, where it's just, you know, repeated exaggeration and lie and mischaracterization and straw man argument. You know, the Bobby and I were talking about this. We're walking from the United Center over to the protest zone after the protest had already actually been, you know, quelled and the 70 arrests had been made. And I said, you know, the Democratic Party hates people like me, or at least hates the ideas that I stand for, hates social conservatism. And because they hate my view of the world, they also hate Trump. But they're not the same thing. And so what they're doing is they're saying, you know, well, we hate Trump and we hate social conservatism, so let's just pretend they're the same thing. And so they are portraying Trump as if he's the Heritage Foundation guy, and he just isn't. And because that's, you know, easier or lazier or whatever. And so they continue doing this with every presentation that gets made. And as they, on the one hand, talk about unity and harmony and civility and community, they also say,
let's be clear. It's not woke that limits economic growth. It's weird. And these guys aren't just weird, they're dangerous.
Yeah, weird and dangerous is the mantra. Weird and dangerous, and it's something that Tim Walz stumbled upon, the weird message. But, you know, Trump is dangerous, Trump is weird, Trump is kooky. They don't so much attack Republicans. It's just that they are slandering him by pretending he's a social conservative Republican and then attacking him for positions that he doesn't even hold.
Donald Trump thinks that we should trust him on the economy because he claims to be very rich. But take it from an actual billionaire.
It's a good line. Pritzker's super rich.
Trump is rich in only one thing, stupidity.
Yeah, there was a fair amount of that sort of personal attack. But here's an example of, you know, oh, the all horrible policies that Trump believes in.
We think the government should help you prosper, not police who you're sleeping with.
there's no mention of that in the platform. Trump never mentioned anything like that. There's no opposition by him or by the party to gay marriage. I mean, you know, I'm a social conservative. It's not something that I favor, but the party's not me currently. You know, there's a lot of us in the party, but the party is not me. And so caring about sexual ethics is antiquated in today's political world. It's just not part of the conversation at all. So, and they kept saying that kind of stuff over and over and over again.
More than anything, Democrats want economic policies that are kind, not cruel. But Trump chooses cruelty every time. After all, everything he's achieved in his own life has been by hurting someone else.
What? Employing thousands of people, creating an economy that had the lowest unemployment rate for minorities in all of history, not under Obama, not under Biden, but under Trump. I'm just confused by the allegation. Also, the notion that we want an economics that's kind. I want an economics that's fair. That is sometimes going to mean that people who make poor choices, because that's what freedom means, are going to suffer consequences for that. And as long as those consequences are fair, that's no more unkind than it is to, you know, give a child a bad consequence because they make a bad decision and you want to teach them something. The economy teaches you to serve other people, and if you don't do a good job of it, you fail. What does kind have to do with it? It's weird, the kind of stuff that they're talking about.
We have a choice, America, between the man who left our country a total mess and the woman who has spent 4 years cleaning it up.
What has Kamala Harris done at all?
And I think it's time we stop expecting women to clean up messes without the authority and the title to match the job.
So he's implying that she's been running the White House and the administration and Biden hasn't. Like, in name only, she's VP.
Vice President was a good title for Kamala Harris. But you know an even better one? President of the United States of America! Let's go get him!
So I think what you're going to see over the next couple of days is the effort to portray all of the successes they claim for Biden as being Kamala Harris's entitlement. Either she was actively engaged in, or she should at least be credited with. Anything that he did wrong, she's going to fix day one. Why didn't you do it before, people will ask. But I think that's kind of where this is all going, is pretending that Biden was just sort of there. I don't know. I don't know what else to make of all of it. But like I said, the personal attacks, which, you know, whether you think they're fair or not, they were certainly rampant.
I went to war.
This is Tammy. By the way, this is Tammy Duckworth, a veteran who very demonstrably came on stage with her leg missing and her, you know, her prosthetic, okay? Which is entirely her right. She certainly has earned the fact that she was wounded. Seriously, she served the country. No quibble with that. I'm just telling you what it looked like when she came on stage.
I went to war to protect America's rights and freedoms. So I take it personally when a five-time draft-dodging coward like Donald Trump tries to take away my rights and freedoms in return.
Which she followed up with.
So let me say to every would-be parent, I see you. I'm with you. And together, in November, we'll send a message to old Cadet Bonespurs.
Again, you know, on the one hand, the message is always unity and kindness and civility. And on the other hand, Trump is evil. He's weird. He's a draft dodger. He's cruel. He hates you and your children and your sexuality. And he believes in Project 2025, which he does not. And even this was, I didn't even catch this lady's name, but she thought she was delivering the sort of walk-off punchline of the night, but she said,
we need a president with empathy, capable of lifting us up when we are down. We need a president who is capable of holding us in a big, great hug when we need it.
What?
That is Kamala Harris. Donald Trump is only capable of holding two things, a grudge and a golf club.
And it was kind of funny because she had the look on her face like, oh, yeah, I said it. Okay, well, it's kind of weird. So here's the thing. Those are kind of the warm-ups. And, again, we were not there the whole time. We got there around, what, 7:30, I think, something like that. So, like, right after Eva Longoria had been on, and we were not there for the roll call, which apparently was quite an incident.
Big hit.
Yeah, we watched some of that on TV. But then the big stuff, of course, for the night was Doug Emhoff. I thought Doug Emhoff's speech was great.
I want to back up to what you were talking about before. When Obama beat Romney, and I had a couple close friends who voted for Obama, and I kept trying to point out to them all the economic failures that the Obama administration had had during his 4 years.
From 08 to, from 09 to 12, right?
Correct. And about a year later, a couple of them, two of my many friends had come up to me and said, I regret voting for Obama now. I wish I voted for Romney. I said, but why did you? I was pointing out all the economic failures. Why
the facts
did
were
you
there,
vote?
Right.
Yeah, the facts were there. Why did you? The answer, I felt like Obama cared about me more than Romney did. This is, we have a large constituent of our country who, they just want to feel loved. They want that big
absolutely
hug at the end. And that's who J.B. Pritzker, that's who Tammy Duckworth, that's who these people are talking to. This is, look, you know what?
When it's the politics of personal affection. I completely agree with you. So here I'm talking about it in terms of the irrationality, the logic, the inconsistency. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that every time I talk about this today that you hear me say the following. Doug Emhoff, very likable.
Oh, yeah.
Very likable. I'm not quite sure why the first gentleman was speaking on Tuesday instead of warming up for his wife on Thursday. It's a little weird, but of course, you know, they're trying to get her involved as much as possible, including the video message from Milwaukee or whatever. But Michelle Obama slayed. Michelle Obama, if Michelle Obama had said at the end of her speech, and by the way, I'm running for president, they would have all abandoned Kamala Harris. They would have voted her in, and she would win in a landslide in November. I have told you many times I thought that the scariest candidate the Democrats could possibly put up was Michelle Obama because she would win in a landslide, and I last night confirmed it.
Same.
She would – I mean, she'd win 70-30.
I thought
she would pull so many Republicans away, and because she's likable, charming, charismatic, smart – whatever else you might want to say. And she has lost some of the, irritating mannerisms of speech that she has had in the past, which sometimes have gotten in her way, that kind of naggy tone that she has had in the past. She killed last night. And, there's no doubt about it. And she got the biggest applause by far. And if you watch it on TV, you have no idea. Unless they had really good, let's do this real quick. I'm kind of all over the place today. I got 2 hours of sleep. But this was the introduction for, I'm going to go to Barack first. Okay, so Michelle introduces her husband.
Please welcome America's 44th president and the love of my life, Barack Obama.
A huge applause. Okay, absolutely enormous applause for him. This was the applause for Michelle Obama.
Please welcome former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Now, here's the thing. How does it sound to you as a radio listener?
About the same.
Yeah, it sounds about the same. You know what it was in the studio, in the arena? No contest. Mm. Twice as loud. It was deafening.
Hairs on your arm were
vibrating. Oh, yeah. No, it was a moment. It was... There's, you know, the audio that they were feeding us, you know, better than what the Republicans did in Milwaukee for capturing the moment and capturing the crowd noise. But the volume, it was deafening. And it was everybody. It was the best moment of their lives to be where Michelle Obama was giving that speech.
To give you an idea on those speeches or on those applauses. When she said, and the love of my life, when she introduced her husband, we couldn't hear her say that in the arena because it was so loud.
It was so overwhelmed. Right.
So you listen on TV or radio, heard things we couldn't hear because of the way they have the balance. In person, you couldn't hear her say, and the love of my life.
And
that's
half of the clips, half of the things that she said that you could barely make out because of the continuous roaring of the crowd. And her speech, like I said, it's one of her speech.
That was her introducing Barack. is when she said, "And the love of my life," and you couldn't hear her say "And the love of my life." You could just mouth it,
right?
And her introduction was way louder.
Minutes
than
long.
That.
It
way louder than that.
She couldn't get him to shut up. I mean, it was definitely. And from a persuasion, politics, getting people motivated, substance. I mean, she had them absolutely eating out of her hand, no criticism. She was spectacular.
It was a great speech.
Yeah. I mean, I would, I would quibble with some of the things she said, but it was the best political speech.
But it was a speech that if you are a Republican and she announced her candidacy, you would be like,
we're dead. Yeah, we're dead. Absolutely dead. So we got a lot more to talk about with this, including the protest/riot. It was not nearly as big as you think. It was definitely vivid. Don't worry. I mean, there was fights, okay? But what actually happened, we'll tell you about that. Plus all the local politics developments. I mean, seismic. I still cannot believe what happened yesterday in the primaries. It's amazing. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Andrew McKay.
So I know sometimes people think, like, I'll just sell the home myself, or I'll just buy it myself, and they don't want to use a realtor. I understand, okay? But let me give you some thoughts about why maybe it's useful to go to a realtor, especially one as great as Christina Leavenworth, okay? Obviously, you know that she sells a lot of homes, 175 homes last year. You hear me talking about her all the time. When the market was hot and it was very easy to sell homes, she could help you by getting the best possible deal as quickly as possible. When the market is slow, more like it is now, when people are uncertain about interest rates or when they're not sure what's going to happen with that market or the economy or the election or anything else, or, what affects the price of the home? Is it change of station for the military? Are we in season or not for that? What about for, school, things like that? And even understanding, like, what could happen near that home, behind that home, or even with a new home, you might think, why would I use a realtor for that? Because they can get the builder to buy down your points, for example, and work with you because builders are motivated. The point is, having a realtor gets you the best of all possible outcomes. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are phenomenal. 723-9158, or look her up online, Christina Leavenworth.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Join the thousands of recyclers who strive to eliminate recycling contamination every day by following the Core Four. The Core 4 includes glass containers, plastics 1 and 2, cardboard and mixed paper, and metal cans. Remember, if you're not sure if an item can be recycled, think, when in doubt, throw it out and put it in your garbage can instead of recycling. Visit ecua.fl.gov for more information. That's ecua.fl.gov. And thank you for being ECUA's recycling partner.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 529 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News in Chicago for the DNC. David Wayne is back in Pensacola with our headlines. David?
Well, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has left the Middle East without a Gaza ceasefire agreement or a deal for Hamas to release hostages. Blinken has been meeting with negotiators in Qatar on a proposal that would have potentially brought them closer to an agreement. The FAA ordering the inspections of hundreds of Boeing 787 Dreamliners after a flight last March took a sudden deep dive that injured about 50 people. The Chilean flight plunged after a seat flew forward and knocked out the autopilot. At least four similar issues have been reported. And no injuries after a fire broke out at the Dallas Cowboys training camp in California. That happened yesterday afternoon in a guest room at the team's hotel. The Cowboys organization says players were practicing. They were away from the hotel at the time it happened. Nobody was in the room and nobody got hurt. And the fire didn't spread to any other rooms.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Just one quick thing, and I put this up on Facebook, but for people who may not realize, the location of the protest last night was more than a mile away from the United Center, almost 2 miles away. It was totally peaceful at the United Center. There was nothing. We were actually learned from social media that there was even a conflict going on. So keep in mind that what you see on TV was not happening anywhere near the convention.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
America, hope is making a comeback.
Former First Lady Michelle Obama on stage at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, followed by her husband, former President Barack Obama.
Kamala Harris won't be focused on her problems. She'll be focused on yours.
There's a ceremonial roll call vote nominating Vice President Harris as presidential nominee. Her running mate Tim Walz speaks and accepts the vice presidential nomination tonight. Former President Trump campaigns with his running mate J.D. Vance in North Carolina today, giving a speech about national security. Yesterday in Michigan, it was about crime and safety.
Kamala Harris will deliver crime, chaos, destruction, and death.
He has events in Arizona and Nevada tomorrow and Friday. Former Congresswoman Debbie Mucasel Powell wins the Democrat Senate nomination in Florida to run against the Republican incumbent Rick Scott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 71 degrees right now. We've got mostly clear skies this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola biker facing charges after leading the Florida Highway Patrol on an extremely high-speed chase yesterday. Troopers say they saw 21-year-old Rylan Moore of Pensacola speeding on I-10 westbound, and when they attempted to pull her over, they say she didn't stop, sped up instead, ultimately hitting speeds of more than 140 miles per hour. FHP says that chase ultimately ended at the Walmart on Pine Forest Road. She allegedly then told troopers she didn't stop because she did not want the ticket. FHP says the motorcycle was seized. Moore now faces charges of speeding and fleeing and eluding. Well, a big win for Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz last night in the primary.
Well, this is my biggest win ever. I think we're going to end up with about 73% of the vote. And that shows that the people in this district want a fighting congressman, someone who will battle the corrupt swamp of Washington, D.C. I fight against those special interests who want open borders and endless spending. And to have people agree with that message and to trust me to carry it, it only makes me want to do an even better job for them.
And Gaetz talked with Channel 3. He defeated his challenger, Aaron Dimmick, who'd been backed by Kevin McCarthy. Gaetz now moving on to November's election. He'll be up against Democrat challenger Gay Valamont then. Some big changes for county commissions in both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties after last night's election. In Escambia County, District 1 Commissioner Jeff Burgosh is out. He lost the race last night to Steve Stroberger, who had 52.24% of the vote. Meanwhile, Ashley Hoffberger wins the nomination for the currently vacant district, the Republican nomination for the currently vacant District 4 seat, and she'll go up against Democrat Ron Helms in November. In Santa Rosa County, District 1 Commissioner Sam Parker losing his seat last night to Bobby Burkett, who had 52% of the vote. District 3 Commissioner James Calkins losing to Rhett Rowell, who had 44% of the vote. District 5 Commissioner Colton Wright did win his race. He had 57%. Of the vote. And a Destin woman arrested after a high-speed chase that ended in Escambia County yesterday. That happened just before noon when officials in Alabama notified the Florida Highway Patrol about a vehicle that was fleeing from police in Alabama and heading into Florida on I-10. Troopers found that vehicle near the 7 mile marker and was able to stop the car with a pit maneuver shortly after. The driver was identified as 18-year-old Angelina Marie Stillwell, who now faces charges of fleeing and eluding and violating her learner's permit. She's also expected to face a felony charge in Alabama. Stillwell remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful start to the day. Temperatures starting off in the low 70s. As you head into the afternoon, high near 93, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Humidity builds back in on Thursday with a 50% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we do have 71 degrees in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. And let's get a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Anthropic, the Amazon-backed AI startup, has been hit with a class action lawsuit in California federal court over alleged copyright infringement. Three authors said the company built a multi-billion dollar business by stealing hundreds of thousands of copyrighted books, including their own. Anthropic has backers, including Google and Salesforce. Target will report quarterly earnings after the bell as the retailer tries to make a comeback from a prolonged period of weaker sales and profits. LSEG analysts predict revenue will come in just above $25.2 billion. Target has been hurt as cost-conscious consumers buy fewer discretionary items while they pay more for everyday expenses. The company's comparable sales have also declined for the past four quarters. Futures are slightly higher ahead of the minutes from the Federal Reserve. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 61, the NASDAQ down 59, and the S&P 500 down 11. That's Your Money Now.
Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Great question. This is where you guys can tee off on me now. You can tee off now. Here you go. Do you support term limits for federal elected positions like senators and congressmen? Of course. Of course you do. Well, I got one that says no. Okay, that's interesting. No, in the back. But that's fine. Hey, that's fine. So I would say it's 99%. Look, I support it.
So Jeff Bergosh at his most recent town hall in Perdido, routinely going through the question and answers, the green cards and the red cards, and asking the audience what they think. A very common question that he asks many times is, do you support term limits for federal officers? Yes. And he says, me too. What about local?
Okay, but here's the great one. Here's where you get to tee off on me. Do you support term limits for all Florida constitutional officers, including county commissioners? Okay, that's a no-brainer there. Okay, I always ask that because I always like to know.
And so do the voters, apparently. This always struck me as the weirdest thing. Like, he said he was in favor of term limits, but he was running again. And I thought, why would you run again if you believe in term limits? That's what Doug Underhill did. He said he believed in term limits, and he quit after 8 years. He said, I'm done. That's what I'm supposed to do. Jeff Bergosh, meanwhile, decided to run again, having run 8 years on the school board and wanting to be on the, you know, at least I believe that. I think that's correct, 8 years on the school board. And then wanting to be 8 years and then 12 years and then however long it would be. And the voters said no. And not just no, but honestly, hell no. This was, and the elections last night, I didn't want to believe it was true when I saw the early returns. Because... You never know. And there is no, we don't have any really good way to know what local elections are going to produce. And it's actually kind of my my preferred state of affairs, because I think that so much of the time with all the polling that goes on in the federal elections, the reporting is on the polling. And that is a terrible way to run a democracy. A democracy shouldn't be about who's ahead according to popular opinion. Democracy should be about who says better things and who do you like and who do your friends say you should support and, you know, individual messaging, as opposed to, well, they're ahead, so we should vote for that, you know, whatever. We get real elections locally of the kind that I wish we could have by law federally. I wish we could get rid of all the polling federally and just have, you know, discussion about what people stand for and what their record is and what their character is. We got that. And as a result of getting that locally, you never know until election night. You know, there's always big surprises. I mean, there was no way, if you'd asked me, there was no way that Dave Peach, county commissioner in Santa Rosa County, was going to lose in District 4 last time around to Ray Eddington. I thought this is going to be an 80-20, you know, 75-25 maybe. But he lost. And when that happened, I gave up predicting local elections. I decided, you know what, you never know. You just can't tell. And so, you know, certainly, in the District 1 you know, election, I have no affection for Jeff Bergosh. He hates me. What I have sometimes said in the past is, you know, I don't like Jeff because he lies about me, and he doesn't like me because I tell the truth about him. And, you know, at one time, we got along well. He was the person who called in the NS Pensacola attack, first to break the news on our station all those years ago. But he just could never get over me being on good terms with Doug Underhill or liking Doug's positions, calling him a gerrymanderer for changing the districts in order to get his political opponents where he wanted them to be, and all the other things. So he just despises me. If you want to know, read his blog. If it's worth your time, read his blog. So, yeah, I didn't say it on the air because I don't endorse candidates on the air. I don't do that. I will tell you what I think, and I will praise even the people I can't stand. I will praise them when they do good stuff. And you hear that from me. You hear that from me at the national, the local, the state level, because that's, I think, fair. That's my job. But I will tell you, I definitely wanted Steve Stroger to win. Definitely. Of course. The lawsuits, the misbehavior, the petty bullying, everything. Bad judgment, the money that the county has been losing because of this. I mean, Pam Childers has not filed, but she has sent a demand letter to the county attorney in Escambia County saying, you know, the Replevin case that you guys lost over Jeff Bergosh's text messages that were leaked and, you know, the Replevin case that he tried to punish the Pensacola News Journal for having the audacity to publish them and Jonathan Owens for having them. And then, you know, the county has lost and the judge has said, part of that loss is that there's no county interest in these text messages. Why were you representing him at all? Which is what I said from the beginning. There's no point to this lawsuit. It's a personal lawsuit by Jeff Bergosh using county resources. Well, that's what the judge said, too. And the attorney's fees for the plaintiffs or for the defendants are going to be owed by somebody. And that's yet to be decided exactly. Well, Pam Childers says, hey, anybody who worked on this case, county employees who worked on this case, including Steve West, he's the second attorney for the county, Allison Rogers is the first, she said, we can't pay him salary for anything he worked on related to this case because it's not county business. It's personal business for Jeff Bergosh. So he's facing a loss of, you know, partially he's facing a penalty that he's going to have to pay for the legal fees of the defendants. He's now also facing docked pay over the time he spent working on the case and the hours and hours and hours of redacting the messages, maybe might be part. I mean, I don't know how far this goes, but She says she won't let the county pay for anything connected to this case because it was a personal favor for Jeff Bergosh. No different than if county employees on county time had washed his car or cleaned up debris at his house, they wouldn't get paid for it. Like, that's the kind of judgment, okay, that we were seeing out of District 1. Arrogant, pettiness, bullying, all of that. And, you know, I'm telling you this now after the election's over, right? But, you know, I tell you the facts as we're going through. So I wanted Steve to win. Absolutely. And I thought it was dirty pool to bring in Jerry Cooey and siphon off votes. I thought it was dirty pool to bring in ghost candidates and make it so it was a primary that Democrats couldn't vote in. All things that Jeff Bergosh clearly did. Or, I mean, no reasonable person disagrees. Okay? Do I know any of this for an absolute fact? Obviously not. But what's all the evidence say? Right? Okay. But going in, you don't know. He's a very gifted politician. He's very skilled at misrepresenting facts, as I told you about his town hall the other day. And I thought, you know what? He campaigns hard. He puts up a lot of signs or a lot of his signs around. He talks to people. He knocks on doors. And he has won many elections, never by a majority, but he's won by a plurality. You know, he's a very gifted politician. You have to give him credit for that. And the voters said nope. And they didn't just say no. They said massive no. I could not believe that these results held up over the course of the night. Steve Stroberger didn't just win a three-way race with a plurality. He won with 54% of the vote. And that's including Jesse Casey siphoned 9% of the vote out. 9% of the people's vote didn't count. You know, it didn't matter because he was in the race. That was Jeff's strategy, in my opinion. Those votes would almost certainly have gone to Steve Stroberger, if not. And it would have been 60%. It would have been 2-1 or close to it. So this is there hasn't been a majority elected candidate in District 1 since Wilson Robertson barely beat Jesse Casey 12 years ago. 50-49, really. This was a decisive statement by the voters. It's amazing. And it completely changes the Board of County Commissioners after Jeff is no longer in office. Because what had been a solid 100% cannot break it three-person majority with Lumen May, Stephen Berry, and Jeff Bergosh doing anything they wanted to do. And they did, again and again, anything they wanted to do. I mean, the number of times that they used their bully majority against, for example, District 2, Doug Underhill, or in other cases, it's amazing. Now, a lot of things the county commissioners do, their five-person votes, their consent agenda, they're good things. I'm not saying that the three-person block didn't do anything good. They did a lot of good things. But that block is over. You now have Mike Kohler for District 2 and Steve Stroberger for District 1, who are, I will imagine, very, very close. And Steve was actually Mike's, second-in-command chief of staff. Okay? So philosophically, they are very closely aligned. By the way, Pam Childers campaigned very hard and very effectively for Steve Stroberger. She, of course, has been very much at odds with the three-person block, with the three amigos, as some people call them, of Stephen Berry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh. Because of all the things, there's been a lot of stuff. That block has been broken up, and it's now 2-2. It's Stephen and Lumen, who have both been on the board for 12 years. Lumen's been reelected without opposition. Stephen faces a no-party affiliate challenger coming in November. A lot of people mistakenly showed up to the polls yesterday, I've been told, trying to vote against Stephen Berry and found out that election doesn't happen until November because he's not a Republican. He's not filed as a Republican, which I think was probably smart on his part because take the possibility of carving off votes in the general. But we'll see. That's still to be decided. Stephen Berry might win re-election. He might not. Who knows? But right now you have two. I mean, Jeff is still in the seat, okay? What you know for sure is that eventually you'll have 2-2, and then you have District 4. District 4, very tight race. All three good candidates. First-time candidates, Ashley Hoffberger, Buck Mitchell, and Walker Wilson. Who knew what was going to happen? They were all showing well. They all present well. They all have their advantages. Ashley Hoffberger wins close. I mean, it's still pretty decisive. She won by 5 points. She got 38%. Walker got 33%, and Buck got 30%. I think a lot of people assumed Buck would win because he had a lot of, big name endorsements and he's very, very, very well known. Walker and Ashley are much less well known as personages here in Pensacola. Ashley, the least of all, really. But she campaigned very, very effectively. She had Michelle Salzman on her side, and a lot of other people. So she wins, and she's going to be the swing vote on the board. And that means that somebody who represents the city and I think has a pretty good working relationship with Mayor Reeves, and we finally will have a District 4. I don't know whether the governor is going to appoint her now. I think he should. This is now done. I mean, Ron Helms is the Democrat against her in the fall, but, I mean, come on. There's no Democrats going to win the District 4. So he should really appoint her immediately so that we have finally representation for District 4, the eastern half of the city, plus the beach. That was a very interesting race. I had no idea how that one was going to turn out. So you have the end of the block in Escambia County, and the swing vote power has now been handed to Ashley Hoffberger as a brand new District 4 representative, and things are going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting in the short term and in the long term. And it'll also be interesting to see what Stephen Barry and Lumen May try to do with their Mayor 2 vote, you know, block or before the changeover of power. I mean, God only knows. I'll be honest. You know what would be fascinating? It'd be fascinating to see Jeff Bergosh try to bring concurrency now and see what Stephen Barry does before the November election. And if he doesn't, then I have no doubt that Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger will bring it after the election. We'll have that conversation then. Meanwhile, in Santa Rosa County. Oh, my God. Again with the I don't endorse candidates and I don't endorse against candidates, but I think if you listen to this show, you know what I wanted to have happen. Holy smokes. James Caulkins is out. And not just out, but out massively. He finished third in a race of three, 28%. Jerry Cooey got 28%, 29%. And Rhett Rowell, first-time politician with a couple of substantial endorsements and a lot of popular support, a very reasonable guy, very nice guy. I like Rhett. I get along well with Jerry. But if you'd asked me who I like in this race, absolutely it would have been Rhett Rowell. I just had no idea it was going to happen. I had no idea. So he wins with 43% of the vote. Rhett's going to do great. You're going to like him as a commissioner. And so then you had that. Then this was a very fascinating one in District 1 where you have Sam Parker, who I may be one of the few, but I like Sam Parker. I get along well with Sam Parker. I don't know who I would have voted for in this one, frankly. I didn't feel like I knew enough about the challengers. But for Sam to lose 34% to Bobby Burkett, former employee of the county, code enforcement, I think, if I remember correctly, 52%, a majority in a four-person race. Now, Roller Ayers was not really campaigning, so getting 3.5%. But Aaron Williams was campaigning, and he got 10%. So getting, again, a majority, just like in District 1 in Escambia County. So that race, very surprising. The voters saying, we're tired of Sam Parker. We want something different. And they picked Bobby Burkett with a majority, again, not a plurality. I think all elected officials ought to have a majority of some kind. And so I'm actually really glad to see this outcome in these two races, not because of the agreeing or not with the outcome, but because you ought to have a majority. The system that gives people a plurality position is terrible. That shouldn't happen. District 3, James Caulkins gets beat hard by Jerry Cooey and Rhett Rowell, almost not quite 2-1, 3-2 by Rhett. And then in District 5, Colton Wright wins with an outright majority. Of course, it's only a two-person race, 57%. And Colton does a great job. Colton is a solid person, solid leader, makes good choices. So Santa Rosa County is suddenly shaping up to be boring. The meetings, James Caulkins was a source of endless material, and the agitation and the obstruction and the ridiculousness and the showboating and the bickering and the comments and the all of that now goes away. Now, I don't know Bobby Burkett. Maybe he'll be a source of some of that. Maybe he won't. I have no idea. I mean, I've seen him one time. I moderated a forum with him, so I don't know what to expect. But if you ask me my expectation, the Escambia Board of County Commissioners is going to be significantly less drama and a completely different direction. The Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners is going to be wildly less drama, except perhaps from the public, but from the board itself, much, much, much less. Much shorter meetings, and frankly, boring radio. I've said it many times. As a citizen, I want government to run efficiently. As a radio host, I want it to be a giant cluster. Pensacola City Council has become boring since Jerry Myers left, but it runs well, and they get a lot of good stuff done. I think the Santa Rosa County Commission is going to become boring and productive. The meetings will be 45 minutes to an hour long, and they'll be out of there, and they'll do their thing, is my suspicion. Now, the public in Santa Rosa is very engaged, so it may not turn out that way. But we'll always have Milton. at least until November. And we'll see what happens in Milton in November. So, yeah, major seismic shifts in local government. And apart from those two boards, most of the rest of the outcomes were very boring and honestly fairly predictable. Not a lot of big surprises. Certainly no surprises for Matt Gaetz or Rick Scott at the federal level. The local county commission, the voters definitely spoke, and they said, oh, hell no in Escambia and oh, hell no in Santa Rosa to particular people that they wanted to see gone. Jeff Bergosh in the one case and James Calkins in the other case. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, if you need to have work done in your home, the air conditioner, electrical, plumbing, or heating, Peden, they will take care of you. They've been around for 55 years. Of course, started in Panama City, but they've been expanding ever since. They've been in Pensacola for a long time in Ellison Field. They've expanded all the way east to Tallahassee. And recently, last year, they expanded west into Alabama, actually, into Baldwin County, and this year to Mobile County. So anywhere along the Gulf Coast in the Central Time Zone, they'll take care of you. And a little bit of the Eastern Time Zone, too. Now, if you need the work done, they've got a couple of specials going on right now. $55 for an AC inspection. It's a pretty good deal. If you do get work done, there's no service fee at all right now. That's totally waived, and you get $55 off the repairs. Now, if you need to have something replaced, and, you know, sometimes that happens. You can't just repair the system. You got to replace it. $555 off of the system replacement. So Peden will either make it cheaper for you to have the repairs done or cheaper to actually have the replacement done if that's what you need to do. Find out more. Schedule an appointment. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Peden, PEADEN.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio Pensacola is the best place to reach informative, local, and dependable listeners. But did you know you can reach sports fanatics on one of our family of radio stations, ESPN Pensacola? It's our area's top place to reach sports fans.
I'm Robin, general manager with Stonebrook Golf Club. We enjoy working with the ESPN local radio team. Great service and delivered results. To reach area sports enthusiasts, I recommend advertising with ESPN Radio.
To have your business reach sports fans today, call 850-262-6000.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's worth mentioning on this whole Escambia and Santa Rosa County thing is a massive change in attitude among a lot of Escambia voters who thought that nothing would ever change and that they couldn't possibly get rid of the heavily moneyed interest, the 3 or 4 person voting block on the Board of County Commissioners, and they did yesterday. So I know a lot of people are just amazed at these results and finally feel like there's fresh air coming in. So interesting. Back in Pensacola, we've got David Wayne with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. A federal judge blocking a ban on non-compete agreements that was set to take effect next month. The FTC banned most non-competes earlier this year, which keep employees from leaving their jobs to work for a competitor. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other groups sued. They said the ban would make it harder for companies to retain talent.
Absolutely. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about the DNC. We were in the convention center when the speeches were going on, and some of them were quite epic. We'll talk about what we learned from a woman who was a reporter covering the riots. Very interesting stuff. Have that to share with you at 6:35. But all of that and local politics news.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.